Welcome to the Future Print Podcast, celebrating print technology and the people behind it.
And welcome to the EcoPrint Podcast. I'm joined today by Oksana Simo, who is co-founder of a business called Yoga Cycle. Welcome, Oksana. I'm really happy to have you here for the podcast interview.
Thank you very much, Marcus. My pleasure. Thank you for inviting.
And whereabouts are you? Whereabouts are you in the world?
So I'm here now in Geneva. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's rainy weather today in Geneva. So trying to cope. Yeah.
It does rain occasionally. Mountain climate. So you have great weather, but you also sometimes have some rain, which is fair enough. Anyway, thank you for joining us. And I'm really looking forward to talking to you about your role in sort of launching Yoga Cycled, and also a little bit about sustainability and also World Economic Forum. Tell us first off about your background and how you came to get involved in sustainability.
Yeah. Sure. This is a very interesting one. Thank you, Marcus. You know, I just first have to say that my way to sustainability was not very much straightforward. I haven't been trained in sustainability studies or environmental studies, not yet. So I was born and grew up between Russia and China. And so that time, the sustainability was the very last thing I was really concerned about. So my involvement in sustainability started much later, I think by the 2015-2016. And that time, two important events happened in my life. One was more personal and the second one, a global event. So on the side of the personal event, and we can speak about this a bit later, the event happened with my sister when she was based in the south of China. And this is how we got the idea of creating our eco-friendly company, eco-friendly startup. And on the global side, the conference, climate conference in Paris in 2015, COP25, and at that time I was based in Paris. Mm. So this is the moment where I get really very much concerned from one side, but also passionate about the sustainability and the climate change and wanted to have an impact there.
Mm. Yeah, and that's interesting that you mentioned the Paris Agreement of 2015. That was when the UN laid out this kind of target of keeping climate temperatures to increasing only at 1.5, yeah?
Exactly. This was that time when net zero and decarbonization and all these issues, climate change, became, you know, slowly cramping into the top of the agenda of different businesses, but also governments and civil society as well.
Yeah, so it's quite a defining time. So that's how you kind of really became more focused on sustainability. What is it you're doing right now? You mentioned Yoga Cycled, so you kind of, that's interesting to find more about, but you also are involved with the World Economic Forum. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Exactly. So I am a co-founder of the eco-friendly brand Yoga Cycled, which originates from yoga and recycled. I can speak about this a bit later. I'm also employee of the World Economic Forum with the Energy, Materials and Infrastructure team, where I support hard to abate industries to move towards their net zero goals. So this is my two main activities, both in sustainability and both very passionate. In today's podcast, I would like to more focus on my startup and speak to you about my journey as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So Yoga Cycled is a really cool sounding idea, but actually a business that you've established in it. I'm interested in sort of what yoga. Obviously, you're somebody that believes in and practices yoga. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I just mentioned earlier today about my sister. So what happened is in 2015, there was a big hurricane in Hainan Island in the south of China where my sister was based. And that was the moment when my sister was out of reach, like for 2 or 3 days. So we couldn't reach out to her. And then when she finally called me, she explained to me that you can't imagine what happened. We were not having electricity here, but also the entire coastline is covered with plastic waste. And my sister, she's a yoga teacher, and she said, I used to teach yoga on those sandy beaches in Hainan Island, and now it's like it's they're like all this landfill is covered by plastics. And this was the moment when we decided to reflect on this, and we became really concerned and had this idea of collecting these plastic bottles and then transforming them into something beautiful and durable and sustainable. And this is how the idea from waste to wear was born.
Well, so it's literally the, I can envisage a quite a nice sort of island that's kind of very peaceful, beautiful weather, lovely seas, and then a huge storm comes along and kind of temporarily perhaps wrecks the place. And what you're saying is that all of the plastic waste washed up onto the beach.
Exactly, yeah.
So Yoga Cycle uses waste to create what exactly?
So we are creating from the very beginning, and that's why we called Yoga Cycle. So we were creating yoga wear, so different leggings, pants, but also swimsuits, tops, so sportswear generally. So this is what we create, and it's at about 80%. 86%, I believe, of PET bottles recycled, and the rest, 14% of spandex, which make it really durable. And, you know, you can use for years and years without it being, you know, the colors washed away or, you know, stretch or anything.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I wouldn't have thought it possible to create something else from that kind of waste. Was that quite a difficult technical thing to do? Or how did you go about that?
Yeah. So, you know, I just mentioned that I was born between Russia and China on the border, and I speak Chinese since I was little, right? And so it's as we started, you know, to collect this bottle and to find for different collaborations in China. So this helped a lot, you know, speaking with different factories, different people around China. And so we've traveled a lot in China itself with my sister to find, you know, partners and find factories that will be able to transform this.
Yeah. So it took a lot of work and research, and
exactly.
There can't be many people that are born on exactly where you are that you can speak Russian and also Chinese.
This is the advantage, definitely.
Yeah. Excellent. And English, and probably French as well, right?
Exactly. French and Japanese as well.
Very impressive. Yeah. So developing the way to create the material is a big deal, and then getting it into the market once you've got that material. The material itself, what kind of colors does it, multicolored? How do you deal with that? Yeah.
And now we are coming into this, you know, printing type of question, because so the material itself has no color, right? Because the PET bottles, they don't have any color. And then what we get is just a piece of, you know, material, which is like gray color. And then we work with designers from developing countries, mainly female designers, unknown most of the time to all of us. And then they will just paint as something very beautiful, most of the time animal related, like ocean or forests. So they will do a very colorful paint, which then, using the sublimation printing, we will put on the material. So what's good about this, and we can elaborate later on this, that we avoid all the water waste and water pollution, because we only put the color with big printers, we only put the color on the surface of this material. So it doesn't go as, you know, your normal, like cotton or whatever, material. It doesn't color the entire material, just the surface of it.
Right. Yeah. So it's quite efficient, and the dye sublimation process is a really effective one for fabric. So, and like you say, it's also digital, so you can print what you need, kind of thing. So that's really interesting stuff. That with obviously you've seen a problem with climate change, and you're very active in that. And the impact of adverse weather had led to Yoga Cycle, literally. So that's really interesting. Do you think, though, looking around the world, and I mean, obviously you're immersed in sustainability yourself, but do you think the world really is doing enough when it comes to sort of the environmental change and sustainability generally, do you think?
You know, Marcus, I don't want to sound really negative, but are we doing enough? Absolutely not. The answer is really easy. I feel the need of moving faster and harder. Because at this stage, what counts is time. Time is of essence, right? And the challenge here, what I see is whether with the World Economic Forum or with my startup, the challenge here is businesses cannot transform themselves overnight. So it's the entire process. And especially if we speak about the scope 3 emissions, here it's the entire value chain, right? Including the end of life, end of circle for our products. So it's really difficult. It's very challenging. So yes, we are not doing enough. We have to move faster. We have to take engagements as well. But there is, well, we all agree that it's not optional to anyone anymore, right? It's imperative for businesses, for governments, for us as individuals as well. And what I see, businesses experience different pressures from the governments, regulators, but also from the consumer. And so this is what I've seen with YogaCycled. We have been supported by so many consumers who are conscious and who are asking, you know, for the products which are sustainable and actually asking for brands with purposes, not just, you know, mass production.
The EcoPrint Summit is the first and only event 100% focused on sustainable print technology and production. You can enjoy inspirational presentations, interactive roundtables, workshops with sustainability experts, and much more. Be part of important conversations, inspiring action, and influencing positive change at PAL Expo in Geneva, Switzerland on the 6th and 7th of June 2023. Go to ecoprint.events to buy your ticket now.
We've taken a look. So obviously, the EcoPrint ran our first event ran in 2012, and then we're running now again virtually 10 years later in 23. And you've mentioned a few things, I think, that have changed in that 10 years, and that certainly the scope 3 element and brands being also committed to, like you say, the kind of Paris Agreement. And the supply chain being probably 70%, they reckon, of all emissions. So it's kind of important, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, I'm engaged in this in fashion industry. And, you know, fashion industry is unfortunately known to be the second polluting industry in the world. And I believe in fashion industry, you just mentioned in the printing, you have 70% of scope 3 emissions. Mm. I think in the fashion industry, you have more than that. 80, maybe 90%, it depends, right? And the issue here is not only upstream, not only upstream, but also end of life. So we have all these brands, right, producing different wear, different clothes, and you know, like launching, I think, several collections per season. And then we can ask ourselves what's next. You know, you wear this for a couple of months, and then where does it go? And this is a big challenge we haven't been able to solve as of now.
Yeah, and I guess the there's some big trends at work there, aren't there, in terms of, you know, individualization, people wanting certain things at certain times and then wanting a replacement or something else. It's that constant kind of need for the next thing. And I suppose if you look back at history, we that fashions would change quite slowly, wouldn't they?
Exactly.
But now it seems that it's changing all the time. And
yeah,
I don't bother keeping up personally. That lends itself to fast fashion, which can be bad for the environment, can't it?
Exactly. You know, it's like something that I'm always speaking, you know, about this consumerism. You know, I remember from my grandparents' era when they were wearing, you know, the same jacket for like 20 years, 30 years, and it was in perfect, you know, condition. Well, nowadays, fashion industry goes so fast in creating a lot of challenges for the environment as well.
Yeah, so that's a big positive that you've done there for something for fashion, and maybe the application of yoga wear and gym wear and sports wear. And, you know, I really hope that grows. And it's the website for Yoga Cycle is yogacycle.com, is it?
Yogacyclewear.com.
Yogacyclewear.com. Yeah. So everybody check that out if you're looking for some yoga wear and gym wear. Well, obviously, we're not doing enough. And Scope 3 should be a wake-up call for all of us, because I think basically if you're currently serving big brands and they haven't stipulated their sustainable demands, they will be, and you're going to need to align. But what needs to change in your view in the world of business in order really for a true impact to be made for the environment?
I feel here I can just name one single thing. Of course, there are so many that there is an entire list, but if I were to speak just about one thing, is I strongly believe that no one can tackle this challenge alone, neither businesses, nor governments, regulators, or civil society. So I strongly believe in collaboration and cooperation, and this is crucial. So building this type of meaningful partnerships, private-public partnerships, is a big step. So that's why we see nowadays many businesses collaborating with governments, but also different international organizations, United Nations, and different institutions, you know, to move forward with academia as well, and young leaders, shapers, and innovators. So
that's another thing that's changed. Younger people have come into the industry, and I think you're a great example of that, where you're active, and you're action oriented, and you want to do something about it, and purpose, and buying from people and businesses that have a purpose, but equally working for businesses that have a purpose is kind of like really important for the younger generation. Is that fair to say?
Exactly. This is what I've seen. When I launched this company, we have been working mainly with young leaders, young people, and they have been asking, you know, for this change, actually. They wanted to get involved as well, get engaged as well.
So we've kind of touched on this already. So I guess Scope 3 for the fashion industry is already massively important. And you've already said that over 70% of emissions tend to come from the supply chain. And fashion's famously textile production uses huge amounts of water as well, doesn't it? And creates a huge amount of waste.
Exactly. This is one of the main issues. There are many, such as energy consumption, as well as the water waste, water pollution. And so I'm happy that at Yoga Cycle, we were able, you know, to bypass this, this stage of the, you know, printing, and we don't use water, zero water, you know, so this is a good thing.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, just sort of really looking into the future, and like you said, I really like the point you're making about collaboration, and I guess the culture of many people in business, and maybe people that are of a certain age. I won't use myself as an example, but competition is what drives a lot of business traditionally. But obviously, this kind of problem is not one that we should tackle alone. We need to work together. So I guess EcoPrint, we want to try to create that kind of environment. When you say collaboration, obviously the work you do for the World Economic Forum and so on, and you've mentioned the UN as well, is that something that you've seen happen in industries, where industries have worked together to make a difference?
Exactly. You know, I've seen that even though competitive businesses, they are getting all together because they see a bigger purpose. They see that they can have a bigger impact when they get all together. And this is across all the industries, right? When all different sectors getting together, different big players, smaller players, but also startups, innovators, and governments and regulators. When we have all these sides covered, then we all of a sudden can see a more complete ecosystem of engaged people that really want to make a change.
Yeah. I mean, actually, on that note, In the news yesterday, in the UK, big retailers, so Aldi, Lidl, the Co-op, Morrisons, Sainsbury's, Tesco, Waitrose, and Marks and Spencers, I think that means all of the kind of main food retailers in the UK have signed on to a new retailer net zero collaborative action plan, forging fresh collaboration for Scope 3. So what you're saying there is starting to happen, and at the top of the chain. So we need, you know, for the printing industry, perhaps that would be a good idea as well, wouldn't it?
Exactly. I'm really happy about this news in particular, and I feel more and I see more and more of these type of collaborations. It's just we now have to, you know, pass to action. We have to move faster and harder, as I said previously.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. With your experience in launching products, also working, I think your focus for the World Economic Forum is energy. Is that right?
Yes, correctly. Energy, materials, and infrastructure.
So, yeah, so you're seeing a lot of different things and so on. So I guess you've got really unique experience of launching a product, a consumer product, but also working in the sustainability industry as well then. Any advice that you might give someone at the start of their sustainable journey?
Sure. You know, I feel that what's important when we are on this journey, and we all should be, right? Everybody should be concerned, is lead by example. You know, when would it be on the personal level, you know, changing your consumption or the way you travel, you know, the way you live, but also changing the way how you run your business, or if you're in the government, you know. So leading by example, and I could see from my personal experience, you know, this inspires people, you know, people become more interested, more inspired and more engaged. And all of a sudden you can see an ecosystem of these passionate and, you know, in sustainability and conscious people around you. And this is important, you know, because you cannot, you know, run a sustainable business, but on your personal, you know, in your personal life, you know, be like, you know, create a lot of waste and be completely, you know, ignorant about the climate change and everything. So it's all when you're, you know, create an ecosystem around you. This is important.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So leading by example, I think you're right, that inspires other people. We're looking forward to having you, because you'll be giving a talk at EcoPrint Summit in Geneva. We're really looking forward to having you there, and so on, so people can come and hear you and meet you and so on. And this, we hope, will be the start of people like you inspiring a generation of print people to change as well. So
I'm very much looking to this event in June, yeah, in Geneva. Thank you very much for inviting.
No. And thanks for joining us today. The website is yogacycledware.com.
Exactly.
Obviously, if you're interested in the EcoPrint Summit, it's ecoprint.events. Thanks so much for joining us, Oksana, and we look forward to meeting in person in Geneva and also hearing your talk.
Thank you very much, Marcus, for having me here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, you can subscribe now for more great audio content coming up. And visit futureprint.tech for the latest news, partner interviews, in-depth industry research, and to catch up on content from FuturePrint events. We'll see you next time on the FuturePrint podcast.